Good morning. Today is Tuesday, April the 11th. Joining us this morning, permanent president at College of the Redwoods, Keith Snowflamer.
Feels great.
Yeah, I would bet you that.
It feels great to have a real job that's permanent.
Well, you don't have to move your office again.
Perfect. I just have to get my new cards printed and I'm ready.
Oh, well, okay. Until then. It's not for... Well, congratulations. They made a smart decision this time around.
I sincerely hope they did, yeah. It feels great.
So did you get like a 10-year no contract? Or no cut contract?
Well, actually the board's going to vote on my contract today.
Okay.
Board meeting day. So...
We're going to go with it. We're going to go with it.
Actually, I would too.
Our quote this morning comes from Eugene Ionesco. Ideologies separate us. Dreams and anguish bring us together.
Wow, that says a lot about today's world.
Kind of works, doesn't it?
It kind of works today.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. So now that you're head honcho permanent,
yeah.
I noticed that you don't have a tan ring there where the crown's been sitting for the interim period. What? Well, are people going to see a difference, a difference at Redwoods, or is it more of what they've come to appreciate?
I think that they will see a difference in direction for the college. But in terms of me personally, I'm the same person as I was a year ago as I'm going to be next year. So there'll be no
That's a plus change. And a minus. You realize that?
Well, actually, it's. I would hope that it's a plus because I think what we need is to be stable at the top, and I think now that the board has made this choice, I think that we'll be very stable.
So you said difference in the school though.
Yeah.
Is that reacting to the community's needs?
Absolutely.
Or the students' needs? I guess they're both.
Actually, it's both. It's both, because I think what we're going to start focusing on is trying to, number one, right-size the institution, make sure that we're expending the money that we need to expend to serve students, taking into account our less revenue. So right-sizing the college. But we're not just talking about budget. We're also talking about programs. So one of our biggest challenges is how do we take care of the programs we have and prepare for the future? I think that's the conversation that we have to have, because our society is changing. The needs of our communities are changing. So CR has to also change to fit those needs. And so we have to work together to identify those things.
This may be one of those out on the edge questions you may choose not to respond to, and that'll be okay.
Or I may choose to respond.
That's right.
Yes.
Do you see CR as the leading educational institution in our region in 5 years?
Yes. And now here's my rationale behind that. Yes. So emphatically. One is that CR can change much quicker than a baccalaureate institution to fit our community's needs. And for us to do our jobs well, to prepare our students not just for a year or two on job training, but how do we have CR fit what the community's needs are going to be in 10 or 15 years from now? And I think we are able to make those changes a lot quicker.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Keith Snowflake.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Keith Snowflamer. Sorry, I tried to make it all hyphen there on you.
It's quite okay.
Keith, before the break, you had pretty much driven a stake that Redwoods is going to be the institution. And I know things are going to be changing in education. They always have, and they probably always will.
Yeah.
So being management-driven change, what is it that you envision 5 years down the road?
There are a couple things that I would like to focus on. Of course, the big issue is healthcare in our community, especially in our county, is that we have less doctors and we have less nurses. So where CR can make a change is working with our community partners and businesses like St. Joseph and Mad River to say, how can we increase the pipeline of students, not just getting the LVN, but how can we build a pathway with our sister institution at Humboldt, at HSU, and a pathway from our associate degree of nursing to a BSN? Our students need a BSN in this county. And CR is very committed to working with HSU to have that BSN here. So some students can't, you know, they can't learn online, and that's where most of the colleges are going to, online nursing BSNs. Some of our students in this county either don't have computers or just really can't learn online very well. So we need a face-to-face BSN program.
Are there, and I know you've talked about it in the past, that there's a window of opportunity for community colleges to step up and have a four-year degree if the local doesn't offer it. Are there other areas? I mean, my mind's kind of just freewheeling here because there's a number of different programs that Humboldt either never has or never will have, but there's still need. Police science. Yeah, okay, Ashland teaches it. You guys have got the academy, so you've got the fundamentals in place. Is that an area or in some other things that you're already pretty well vetted that you could just take it out and get a four-year?
What we're going to focus on and see if we can offer a baccalaureate degree in any type of our vocational areas, like manufacturing technology. That's very strong at the two-year school level. Humboldt, I believe, used to have an industrial technology degree, which they've since sunsetted, I understand. So let's look at those vocational areas and seeing if there's an opportunity with a baccalaureate and in a vo-tech area. But the key piece there is that we don't want to oversaturate the market, whereas then we don't have enough people getting a job, then we can't balance that expenditure line item.
That's really the critical difference, isn't it, between a four-year and a community college?
What do you mean?
Placement in the workforce. That was never a question that was ever asked when I was going through Humboldt for the 4 years that I was there. There was no specific reference made to placement. Now, maybe things have changed in just a couple of decades, but that was not a concern. You know, obviously their mission statement is entirely different than what the community
Absolutely.
College is also.
That's
so
true.
That would be understandable.
That's true.
But it would seem like that with those two elements, vocational or tech,
yes,
and local placement with a four-year degree, that really opens up a whole bunch of things to get degrees that are for our area, in our area.
Sure. We want our students to, of course, get a degree at CR, but also stay at Humboldt. I like that tie. I like that connection. But also, we want to be able to educate our students to go anywhere in the country if they want to do that. But our students, I think that our students should stay in Humboldt or Del Norte. It depends on where our students are from. It just makes our economy even stronger.
Sounds like I'm talking to a politician with this question.
That is my job.
Yeah, I know. Community relations. Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay.
When you're considering some of these options, are you going to be recommending responsive to the marketplace or leading the marketplace?
I think we have to do both. We have to do both because we have an internal process that we look at before we start a new program, that we look at not just where the market is currently, but also look at where the market's going to go to make sure that when we invest money in a program, that those returns will always be there. Our returns on our investment will be there so we can sustain a program. So we're going to look at both the current outlook, but also our future outlook. And really, that was the key behind, or the foundation behind our Board of Trustees looking at our strategic vision for 10 or 15 years, is to be able to look outside what we're looking at right now, the five-year program, but look at 15 years down the road, where does CR want to be in its place with our communities?
Did you feel the hook getting set?
I know you well. I know it.
It's always been curious to me how Silicon Valley types, go with the stereotype here, folks, give me a little latitude, are always preaching quality of life. I can't think of too many communities in the state of California that there would be a greater disconnect with quality of life than San Jose and the Silicon Valley. All the pollution of the bay comes down there, the price is expensive there, et cetera, et cetera. And there's very few places that are more pristine appearing than what ours is.
Yes.
Why aren't we number two? Silicon number two, or the Redwood Valley, I guess, or whatever it would be called. Do you see that as an area that you can lead the community into?
I think that that is an area that we can look at partnering with our business community to look at doing.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Keith Snowflamer, president at College of the Redwoods.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. It's always weird going through that interim phase. I mean, somebody's there, yeah. They start to get their footprint in place. I mean, you had it with Tom and some of the other guys that kind of serve short term. But you never really get to settle. Nobody really gets to settle. So it's cool that you're a known factor and that you've been running the place for the last little bit anyway. So
yeah, for a couple of years.
It just kind of keeps that same direction. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Keith, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Silicon Valley 2, whatever we want to call it. The foggy spot. And why not us? Whether it's Del Norte County.
Yes.
Or Humboldt County, doesn't really matter. I know we'll get the purists saying, no, it has to be in my town. No, it doesn't. I mean, if we had 500 jobs with $100,000 to $150,000 salary a year, we all win. It doesn't matter where you are. We all win, and everybody would benefit from that. So I'm not going to play into that field at all. What do you see as the impediments? If, and let's put that out there, Redwoods is the computer stud of the state. Okay, all the investment, whatever it takes, the philosophical commitments, everything's there. It's clean, it's good, it's everybody's happy. Okay, so now the philosophical commitment is there. Mm-hmm. What would it take to do that, or to have a four-year police sciences degree? What would it take for Redwoods to make that commitment in these areas that you don't have now, to step up and really, really shine it up and become premier?
I think we have to take one small step backwards and look at, for Redwoods to commit to a direction, we need to know what the community's needs are going to be in 10 or 15 years from now. And to look at every step of the way and say, this is where we want Humboldt County to go. This is where our community wants to go. And then take a look at it and say, how do we want to work that way in lockstep? So look at how do we partner with our businesses to say, how do we find the funding? And what does the program look like? And partner with them and say, here's what we want to do 15 years from now. How do we work it together? And we haven't had that real in-depth conversation yet. But what I keep hearing is that we also don't have the basic workers to even support our businesses today versus looking 15 years down the road. What do we want to look at?
Yeah, drug-free is
drug-free is a big issue.
And I think...
But also it's soft skills. How do we get students or workers to come to work on time or to just show up on time?
Some of the cultural things.
Those,
and then yes. And then obviously we've got the minimum wage thing that's kicking around and it is going to, you know, cost of labor and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Of a program, what percentage is covered by state, whether it's tuition that then gets played back and then you get it through ADA or categorical funding or any of that kind of stuff? What of a dollar needed, how much is covered before you have to come to the community? Is there a reference?
It's really hard to answer the question because our programs cost differently. For example, our nursing program costs a lot more than, say, our addiction studies program or our English program. So we do, just like any business, we have lost leaders out there to fund those high cost programs like nursing or dental hygiene, those type of things.
How about a mean? Just kind of shoot the middle then, roughly. Are you looking at a 50% outside of the tuition revenue stream?
Usually the state would fund about 100% of a program, like an academic program. They would fund that based on our FTS revenue coming in. But it's just not a program that costs money. It's the cost associated with having a program, the student services piece, the business piece, those other costs of doing business also has to be covered.
All the support.
All
components.
The support, right.
Do those tend to run 20%, 50%? I mean, if you're running lean, mean.
I would give it about 20-25%.
So it's certainly, to do one of these programs, there would be a premium associated with it.
Absolutely.
As well as the 25% above and beyond.
Cost of doing business, right.
Can you have a two-tiered tuition schedule?
So far, no. So far, we cannot do so. There has been talk in the state of having a differential tuition for VOTEC programs, career programs versus academic programs, but that has not gained traction in the state at this point in time. But clearly, since our vocational programs cost more than an academic program, But we're collecting the same amount of FTS, whether it's for auto technology or nursing, as we do with philosophy, addiction studies, or English.
Lab fees tend to be ways that things kind of get sneaked in sometimes. Are lab fees a way to help offset some? I mean, you're not going to be able to hit it too hard, but if it's in a four-year degree track, you look at the UCs and the state universities, those costs are slightly different than the community college model.
True.
Is there flex in that area?
There is some flexibility with lab fees, but even that is regulated by the state in the maximum amount of lab fees. Or if we charge a lab fee, then that lab fee has to directly correlate to student learning. And that students have to be able to walk away with something to that effect. But the lab fees won't cover the full cost.
How about the Gates Foundation? I mean, some of those guys, you know, they're big chunkies that are out there to do something like this that I would think that there are people that have sweet spots for this kind of thing.
You know, we can always talk about getting grants as seed money, but at some point that seed money goes away, which means we have to be able to have a program that we can sustain moving forward, because we don't want to start a program and then have the program go away.
is there a likelihood of a two-tier tuition system?
That's up to the state of California, and I haven't heard lots of support for that at this point in time.
And you couldn't charge because you're still a community college with the four-year schools get, even
correct.
If it was for a four-year degree.
That is correct at this point.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this Tuesday morning with Keith Snowflamer. Keith, what's the status of the budget for this coming year? You'd use the phrase right size, which
yes.
I guess is probably the new trendy thing in government right now, but you know, most of us think that we wear things that are of the right size and operate within our means and all that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff.
Absolutely.
How's this upcoming budget year looking?
Actually, it looks pretty good, actually. So right now, going to the board is a preliminary budget that is balanced, that also puts money in our fund reserve, which is very, very positive. And so that's what we're looking at. We have based our budget based on the January budget, which from the state. So our budget's balanced based on that. We have high hopes and expectations for the May revised budget. So hopefully we'll have a little bit of a uptick in what we expect from the state, but also if you've been in California long enough, you know that where it goes up, it's going to come crashing down. So we have to be ready to have our structural budget not outpace what we expect from revenue coming from the state. So we know that there's going to be a downturn. So how do we protect the infrastructure and the core of our academic programs to be able to survive that downturn? That's really what's tricky for us at this point, because we don't have a high reserve.
And if you did, you'd probably have people looking at you funny.
If we had a high reserve, we would have people questioning, why do you have a high reserve? You're supposed to spend the money because the state gave you money, not as a reserve, but to spend on students. So you're right, it's a catch-22. So we have to find that middle ground to how do we safeguard the future of the institution without saving too much money, which then causes folks to look at us askance.
Well, and if you have some of those deferred maintenance things, then you can get jumped on and taken care of without crippling the company down the road.
True. Absolutely. And we have a deferred maintenance that's up in the millions of dollars for years and years and years. So
you have plenty of places for contingency dollars to get allocated.
If we ever had that, we had that money.
Yeah.
But really what we're looking at is our own general fund money and some grant money that we want to focus on our instructional programs and our student success programs first.
Are any of the deferreds ticking time bombs that are really concerning right now, or are they all pretty much under control?
They are concerning, but the state has given us about $35 million in what's called a utility infrastructure monies that allows us to fix our deferred maintenance on this campus, but also in Del Norte.
So it's not roofs necessarily, it's internal systems as well.
Underground systems, internal systems.
Okay, below internal.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
true.
Too much fun, but hey, that's why you signed up, isn't it?
I love my best job in the world, I keep telling people. Best yeah. job in the world.
We'll believe you eventually. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much.
See everybody tomorrow.